Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Paul writing says, but do this and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over and the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us, your word that continues to reveal your truth for our life and reveals you to us. And Lord, anytime we approach your word, we come before you, asking that your Holy Spirit would give us insight and understanding to help us understand your word to us and enable us to see you. Because your Holy Spirit has been given partly to help us understand your word and your truth, to help us see you in it, and how you want us to live as a result of it. So I pray that you would bless your word, Lord, to our hearing, to our heart this morning, that we truly can say it has been good to be in your presence this morning, because again, we saw you, and Lord, that's why we are here. We want to see you. We want to see you lifted up and exalted through your word, through your presence, and by your spirit. So Lord, bring glory to yourself through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. The city was all astir and abuzz on that early Sunday morning because there was a buzz and a stir that Jesus was coming to town. It was time for Passover. It was a time when the Passover lambs were to be chosen and selected and be presented to the temple for the sacrifice to be occurring a few days later. Buzz had been gathering for 3 years of who this man Jesus was, and some were wondering, was he going to come to the festival? Was he going to make his presence at all? And others heard that, yes, he's coming. And a crowd formed, and he descended from the Mount of Olives, where the Bible predicted the Messiah would put his feet and someday rule. And he descended from the Mount of Olives and came down into the city. People gathering, making a parade, leading in front of him, waving those palm branches, shouting, Hosanna! The Lord saves. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And the shout was gone around town. The king is coming. And the city was abuzz and astir with the coming, the news of the coming of the king. The Bible says in all four gospel accounts, so significant was the events that happened on this day, beginning in what we call Holy Week, so significant that all four gospel writers count it for us. And they all tell us that they took palm branches and began to wave them, shouting that word, Hosanna, God save, or save now. The waving of palm branches was significant to the Jews because as you study their history, waving of palm branches was a sign for Jewish nationalism, for us to be the same as waving a flag. But it was their sign of waving the palm branches because they were proclaiming that the king has come, the deliverer is here. Bring redemption, bring salvation, but the salvation they were looking for was deliverance from the tyranny of Rome. But they were excited with the news of the coming of the king. But soon, a few days later, that same mob who had lifted up his praise shouted for his demanding his crucifixion. The king had come, but they had missed it. The anticipation and joy that they had in their heart soon dissipated because of the events that unfolded. Paul, as we arrive at the end of chapter 13, is filling us with that same kind of anticipation of the coming of the king and tells us that our king is coming, his arrival is getting closer, and to live with that same kind of excitement and anticipation, knowing that our king is coming, and to prepare for it, not to miss the event, but to be ready for it. And as we look at these last several verses of chapter 13 in preparation for coming to the Lord's table this morning, and as we observe and celebrate this day, we discover three things that we're going to discover together on how we need to live in light of the coming of the Lord. Most of the people that day had missed the significance that was occurring before them. And we need to be ready and prepared for the king's next arrival, because his next arrival is going to be not coming on a donkey, but coming on a white horse to reign. That's what we look forward to, amen? And living for and looking forward to that coming, when the king will arrive on the white horse into the city of Jerusalem amidst great glory and praise to set up his kingdom and reign. So as we discover and focus on the king's coming, the first thing we learn from the scripture this morning is to focus on the fulfillment of God's plan. Focus on the fulfillment of his plan. He says here, do this, and do this, which is your encouragement. He says, this is what I want you to do. This is from all that I've taught, from all that you've learned so far in Romans. He said, this is what I want you to do. Understand the times. Understand the present time. Focus on the fulfillment of God's plan, meaning to understand the times in which we're living. When Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, many in the crowd picked up their branches. They shouted, Hosanna. They were looking for the coming of the king, but they had missed it. They misunderstood the significance of what that day was about. They were looking for a king who was going to come, set up his kingdom, bring deliverance from Rome. But the king had come the first time to bring deliverance from sin. He was bringing salvation, but not in the way that they had thought. They didn't understand what was unfolding before them. They were in the presence of the king, but they had missed the significance, because they didn't understand the times in which where they were listening, what was happening right around them. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. As Luke records the events of this day, and Luke gives additional comment from Jesus as the events unfolded that the other gospel writers didn't include for us. Verses 28 through 37 talk about him coming into the city, as the other gospel writers do, and they talk about him riding on the colt and coming into the city. And verse 38 says, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace and glory in heaven in the highest. They were giving their praise to him. But verse 39 tells us they missed the point. They didn't understand what was unfolding about them. It said, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And the Pharisees didn't want the people waving palm branches and shouting to the king, because they knew what they meant. They knew that that was a national rising. And they were afraid the Romans were going to crack down on them. And they said, tell your disciples to be quiet. But as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. And he said this, look at the words of Jesus. He says, as if you, even you, had known, only known on this day what would bring you peace. But it is now hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone upon another because you did not what? Recognize the time of God's coming to you. They didn't understand the times. They missed the significance of what was happening, that the king had come not to bring salvation from Rome, but to bring salvation from sin, which was most important, in fulfillment on the day whenever the Passover lambs were presented to the temple. He presents himself there as the final Passover lamb. It was being unfolded right in front of them, and they missed it. They did not understand what was happening. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, the Bible says that the men of Issachar understood the times and they knew what Israel must do. Focusing on the eternal plan of God and the fulfillment of his plan, that someday our king is going to come again. And when he comes again, he's going to put an end to all the evil in this world and set up his kingdom and reign. It's what we look forward to. And that's what everything is going towards at this point. And understanding the times around this, a couple weeks ago, when I had taken a break and we had looked at some of the things happening in the world around us in light of what the scripture had to say, and getting understanding the world around us and looking at the fulfillment of things and the fulfillment of God's plan, understanding the times. Since then, I just want to share a couple other things because we need to understand the times in which we're living. Since then, did you hear in the news that China, Russia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Brazil since then have now adopted only the Chinese currency they're going to work with? They're not going to accept the American dollar anymore. Those countries that we had talked about that were need to form an alliance are now formed that alliance and they're only accepting the currency of China. More things have happened even since those last couple weeks we were together and understanding the times in which we're living in, because the king is coming, amen? And it says here, understand the present time. It's time to wake up because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I'll tell you, can tell you this, it's closer now than it's ever been, right? And understanding the times around us, that's the next fulfillment of the plan. And don't miss it. Be prepared for that. Many that first Palm Sunday missed it. They did not completely understand what was happening around them. And they missed it. So understanding the times and stay awake spiritually. Paul says, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because the salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Being staying awake, staying alert, keeping ourselves in the word of God, keeping ourselves attuned to what God is doing in the world. And God is at work in the world in ways in which we often don't know. And knowing what God is doing and what he's up to and staying awake and staying attuned spiritually. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he went into the garden after the upper room, which we're going to enjoy together, the meal, the Lord's table, we're going to enjoy in a few minutes. He went into the garden and he prayed and he said to his disciples, can you stay with me and stay awake with me and pray with me? And he went a little bit farther and he went and prayed. And what did the disciples do? They fell asleep. And he came back to them and he roused them and said, can't you stay awake with me 1 hour? And he went back and they fell asleep again. And they fell asleep and they missed that staying awake and not becoming apathetic. And so often in the delay of our Lord's timing, we know that he's coming and we don't know when, but often it can cause us to get apathetic. It can cause us to let down spiritually and even for those around us that don't know Jesus. But he says, Paul says, it's time to wake up. It's time to be spiritually in tune and be aware, because focus on the fulfillment of God's plan that the king is coming someday and it's closer now than it's ever been. Many missed it that first Palm Sunday. Second thing we discover from the scripture is to hang on because the night is almost over. And I love this. This is good news. He says, the night is nearly over, verse 12, and the day is almost here. So hang on, because the darkness of night, and we're getting in times, it seems like our world around us is getting darker by the day. But Paul says, hang on, because the dark's going to pass. It's not going to last. The darkness will surely end. And it was a dark day on that Palm Sunday, it was a day of salvation and day of joy, but then that week got darker as the light of Christ was extinguished as he was taken into the garden and taken before the trial and wrongly accused and then put on the cross and killed. And that day on Good Friday, it says that everything got dark and the sky was darkened and it was at noon from 12 to 3, it was dark and people were afraid and it was a time of darkness that gripped the earth, especially all of the weight of our sin was cast on Christ. And then when he said, it is finished, and he was taken down from the cross and he was put into the tomb and buried. And it was a dark day for the disciples. In fact, we're told that they put themselves behind locked doors and they were afraid and they thought it was over. But the darkness did not stay dark because Sunday morning came. The resurrection came and the light dawned and that darkness was turned to light. And friends, we can be encouraged because the darkness that we are in now is only temporary. It will surely end. Paul says the night is nearly over. The king is coming soon. And to be prepared for that, the darkness of sin will pass. The darkness of suffering that we're going through, the darkness of sorrow, all that will someday come to an end when we're in the light of the presence of Jesus. And the morning is about to dawn. He said, the night is almost nearly over and the day is almost here. Hang on, friends. It might be Friday, but Sunday's coming. And the day of his return is getting closer every day. Morning is about to dawn. The sun is about to rise. And the king is about to come. Hang on. All we go through, and as we think of what we're going through in life, from the hard times and the difficulties that we face, and the adversities and the challenges of day-to-day life, hang on, because it soon will be done. It soon will be over. And the third thing we see from this scripture is to turn on the light for all to see. As we're living in light of the coming of the king, focus on his return, focus on his plan, hang on because the darkness is soon will pass, and turn on the light for all to see. And that's how we live our light in light of this day. Because he says, put on the armor of light. Lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And let us behave decently in the daytime as in the daytime, not in the deeds of the night. And rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. As we are living in light, waiting for the return of the king, Paul says, live each day turning on the light for the world to see. That means to walk in the light, to walk in the light, living in the way that Jesus calls us to, not in the deeds of the flesh, but in following the example of Jesus and letting Jesus be seen in us and walking in that light that he is the example and showed for us as we are the light of the world and represent him in the world around us. And being clothed with the light that puts on the light of Christ's righteousness, he says, and clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being clothed with the light means to have the blood of Jesus applied to us. And in a few minutes, we're going to come to the table and we're going to celebrate what he did for us. That his body broken and his blood shed, he paid the price. And his blood was shed to cover us and to make a clothing of righteousness for you and me by faith. Then we are clothed with his righteousness. We are faultless before the throne. And we can stand before him rejoicing. Come to his table this morning, thanking him for what he's done. Clothed in his righteousness alone. And turning on that light so that others can see the grace of God lived out through you and what he's done for us. Where would we be? Without him, we would be lost. So thank the Lord for Jesus who has come. And focus in on him, hang on, and shine his light brightly, coming to his table with thanksgiving and celebration, for he has paid the price. His body was broken to open up the way for us. As we come to his table this morning, as we always do on Communion Sundays, pause together for a prayer of confession and consecration. The Bible says that we need to examine ourselves as we come to his table, that we don't come to his table unprepared, that his blood was shed, his body was broken to pay the price, but we need to ask him to forgive us as we come to his table this morning. Is there something between you and him that needs to be dealt with? Let's take a moment of prayer and confession before the Lord. Just bow before him and prepare your heart to meet our Lord at his table this morning. Father, as we come before this morning, we bow before you. We bow before the King. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We bow before your majesty. We declare your glory. We thank you, Lord, that you are a holy God. You have provided a way that we can come to you through your Son. And we thank you for your blood that has been shed to pay the price, to make a covering that when we're clothed in your righteousness and we put on Jesus Christ by faith, you look at us as just as if we never sinned. We thank you for that covering of the blood of Jesus being declared just and justified just by you, by faith alone in you, not by what we've done, but by what you've done for us. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us of all sin and all unrighteousness and to make us clean before you. So, Lord, as we come before you now, Lord, we ask that you'd search our hearts and bring to our mind anything that stands in the way of us and you. Your word says that we need to examine ourselves before we come to your table. And Lord, if there's anything that your Holy Spirit brings to our mind right now, we confess it to you at this moment. Thanking you, Lord, and receiving your forgiveness that you have provided for us through your Son. Lord, we come this morning as well in celebration and in remembrance of you. You've given us this table as a way to remember you and what you've done for us and the sacrifice that you made so that we can have life. We thank you for the bread, a visible reminder of your body broken for us. We consecrate it to you. We thank you for the cup, a visible reminder of your blood shed. And we consecrate it to you, Lord, that as we partake this morning, we would just sense your presence with us in a special and a real way as we commune with you in remembrance and celebration of your grace and of your love demonstrated through Jesus. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you again, consecrating ourselves anew and afresh to you as we come to your table today to receive from you by faith and in celebration as your disciples, because you want us to enjoy this meal with you. You said, I eagerly desire to share this with you. And we thank you that you like to share fellowship and communion with us because you are a personal God of relationships. So bless this time as we come to your table now in remembrance. And we ask this prayer through Christ in his name. Amen.